Blog Talk Radio.
This is Blog Talk Radio, and welcome to Deliverance Live here on Blog Talk. And this is your host, Apostle Gregory Martin. Your co-host tonight is Elder Anthony Mason and Minister Nikki Cuthbert. And I want to take a moment and, as always, thank our Blog Talk listeners for tuning in on tonight and every night that we've been on for the last few weeks and a few months. And we do appreciate your call-ins, your questions, your prayer requests. And we want to encourage you for all your call-in questions and prayer requests on tonight is 215, call the number 215-383-5866. That's 215-383-5866. Again, I think we have a great panel here on tonight, and we have, as far as our panelists, is again Anthony, Elder Anthony Mason, Minister Nikki Cuthbert again, and also Prophetess Tracy Washington, and then we have Minister Yvonne Watson, and then Minister Daniel Martin, and Evangelist Yvette Watson, and we have also Minister April Reeves, Minister and Prophetess Tasha Taylor, and Minister Antoinette Martin. And we're talking about tonight, as we will be continuing, look like on Thursday night, but we're talking about tonight the parables of Jesus. The parables of Jesus. Over 2,000 years ago, God was manifested in the flesh, the Bible says, and he was justified in the spirit. He preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and was received right back up to glory. All this happened through the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. But before going back to heaven, while still on the earth, Jesus' teachings that he taught the people then took a profound and greatly life-giving message to everybody that followed him and that were captured by his words. And those words had the ability to transform the lives of both men, women, girls, and boys, not only at that time, but down through the generations. Even when the religious leaders of Jesus' day sent the Roman soldiers to go get him, say, go get him and bring him to us. The Roman soldiers went out, and after coming into the contact where Jesus was teaching, they went back to those that sent them, and when they got back there, they said, well, okay, what are you doing back here, and where is Jesus? And the only thing that they could come up with, and only answer that they could give him, the leaders that had sent them, was never a man spake like this man. Never a man spake like this man. Well, they couldn't go just take him because, one, it wasn't his time. Number two, Jesus said, my time is not yet. And then number two, he was man's perfect God and God's perfect man. Then he was God wrapped up in a body of flesh, blood, sinews, and bones. Number three, then he was the great I am of the scripture, and the same one that is called the glorious diadem of heaven. This is the same Jesus who declared later on, I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega of all things. This is God eternal, everlasting. This is why they couldn't just go take him. This is God eternal, the everlasting God, the creator of all humanity and everything that has been created. He's both Lord and Savior. He's King of kings, Lord of lords. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. His teachings and his words and his parables still confound the proud and the self-imposed wisdom of worldly educators today. But they are understood, watch this, by the simple and the unlearned, in so much that a child can get a good understanding of what he is, what he has spoken, and a fool, if he wants to turn to God, cannot go into error. Some of these parables we will attempt to touch on tonight with our panel and ministers here. We want to try to unfold some of the understanding that Jesus was seeking to relate. And I want to remind our Blog Talk listeners on tonight that what you hear is not the sum total of what can be gained or understood, or the understanding that can be achieved just by mere the broadcast tonight, but it will serve and hopefully as a basis for your scriptural understanding of God's word. And with that being said, I want to now go to our panel, and I want to address what we're talking about tonight is the parables of Jesus Christ, the parables, the stories, the things that have both a heavenly influence, a heavenly meaning, as well as a earthly warning in some cases. All right, I want to first address Elder Anthony Mason. Elder Mason, will you share one of the parables of Jesus Christ?
Amen. Praise the Lord, Apostle. Of the many parables of Jesus Christ, the parable that I wanted to talk about tonight was the parable of that Jesus talked about concerning the unfruitful fig tree. That's found in Luke, the 13th chapter, the 6th through the 9th verse, and it basically speaks of the parable of a fig tree. And there was a man that had a vineyard, and he came to and was looking for fruit off of this fig tree, and he found no fruit. And when he looked at the dresser of this vineyard, the person who was working in the vineyard said, "Behold, this it's been 3 years. I've been coming looking for fruit coming off this tree, off this fig tree, and I don't find any fruit. Why don't you cut it down? Tell him to cut it down. Cumber it to the ground. Break it all the way down." And the worker or the dresser of the vineyard said, "Lord, let it alone just one more year. Let me work on it. Let me dig around it. Let me, you know, dig on it and do some more work to it. And then if it don't bear fruit next year or by another year, then we'll cut it down." And basically this parable is concerning Jesus Christ and the church, and Jesus Christ and originally the Israel. It's talking about how God being the owner or the keeper of the vineyard came, and he's looking for those who are saved and living right and that are bearing good fruit and living according to his promise, but there still were people in the world that are not living according to what God has called them to do. So Jesus, being the author and the finisher of our faith and being the one that stood in the gap for us, said, "Well, you know what, let me go down. Let me work on them. Let me deal with it. Let me deal with them a little while longer." And he pled for us just as he's done on many occasions. He made his supplication for us to make sure that we get right. He said, "Let me deal with it. Let me work on them a little bit more." And he said, "If it don't come down to another year, if it don't come down to having fruit and bringing forth good fruit, then we'll cut it down." It just shows the mercy that Jesus has towards us and how he's set himself in, you know, between us as a go-between us and God, and put his blood on the mercy seat and show compassion towards us, even though there have been times where we're not bearing fruit or the world is not bearing fruit, the good fruit and the things that he has taught us in his word. He's staying between us and being merciful towards us, even though we're not doing what we're supposed to do. And that's what that parable basically was talking about.
I thought about, as you were talking, there's 9 fruits of the Spirit. Once we're born again and been born of the Spirit of God, there's 9 fruits of the Spirit. And of those 9 fruits of the Spirit, God is looking as you were talking, Elder Anthony Mason, well, then God is looking for fruit on your tree, so to speak. And I use the expression of your tree because Jesus opened the eyes of a blind man. He said, how do you see men? And he said, I see them as trees walking. And then the Bible in Isaiah, the 61st chapter, speaks about the planting of the Lord, trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. So in God, in one sense, the word identifies us, as you were speaking, as trees. He's looking for fruit to be on that tree. And if in God, like you said, is giving people time to turn around and produce the fruit of love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance, faith, gentleness, goodness, and if he don't find no fruit after so long a time, he says, cut it down. Well, thank you, Elder Anthony Mason. I appreciate that. God is looking for fruitful trees, all right, or fruitful individuals, especially those that are called by his name. All right, I want to now address Minister Nikki Cuthbert. Minister Cuthbert, will you express to us another one of the parables of Jesus tonight?
Praise the Lord, Pastor Martin. When I heard that the topic was going to be the parables, the parable that I picked or actually stood out to me was the parable of the good servant and the wicked servant. And when I actually started to read the parable, I was like, oh, you know, like many people do, oh, I've read that parable. But to actually sit and read and take an understanding and notes of the parable, basically it's a parable about the rapture. How when this parable, it talks about how there was a good servant and an evil servant or a wicked servant, and how the Lord left, the Lord of the land left, and how the good servant, when the Lord left, the good servant took care of the land and took care of the people and took care of the acres and lands and farmland and took care of everything and was prepared for when the Lord came back. Now, the wicked servant basically pushed everyone aside, did whatever he wanted, got drunk, did just basically wicked things that were not pleasing nor preparing for the Lord to come back. And what happened was, when the Lord came back and he saw what the good servant did, he promoted the servant. He was pleased with what the servant did. He gave of the servant many blessings and basically promoted him above his fellow servants. But then he turned and looked at what the wicked servant did and how he beat his brethren and how he was drunk and how he was just doing wicked things. And basically he said, oh, no, that's not right. You can't do that in my absence. You were supposed to be prepared for my coming because you don't know when I'm coming. And the servant, the wicked servant, was like, well, you know, I didn't know when, so I just took advantage of it and basically did whatever. And to me, that's kind of like how the people of today are. They don't know when the Lord is coming. They don't know when the Lord says, oh, yeah, I'll be back in February 25th, 2020. God never gave a date. So he's saying, be like the good servant. Be prepared at all times. Always be ready for me to come. Look for me to come. And not like the wicked servant who's just partying, clubbing, doing any and everything underneath the sun that is not of God. Be prepared, because if you are not, you will be casted out into the fire and into the lake and into the hell, and in hell where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Praise the Lord.
The good and the faithful, and the difference between the good servant and the wicked servant. It's interesting that the word of God is making a separation now with people today. Not only the word that, not only that word that is preached, but the word that is lived. God is looking at the lifestyle, the life of people. Because anybody can say anything. Anybody can say, okay, I'm doing this right, I'm doing that wrong, or I'm not doing this right, or whatever. But God is looking at the lifestyle also. And with that being said, let's go to Prophetess Tracy Washington and hear about another parable of Jesus.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Martin. I want to speak about the parable of the workers in the vineyard. In Matthew 20, 1 through 16, we find that there are laborers that were asked to come and labor in the vineyard and agreed upon a certain amount, agreed upon a penny to work. That would be what they would receive for the labor that they put in. Well, there were others standing around that were asked to come and do the same work, do the same labor, but did it and didn't have as much time in as the ones that had first been asked to do the labor. And again, they didn't even know what their wage was going to be, but they were just believing and faithful enough to believe that whatever was given to them was going to be fair to them. So what I got out of that was that a lot of times we think that because we've been in the ministry or we've been in church longer than some of the newer saints, that we are more entitled to some things, or that we may go in before them, or, you know, just that sense of entitlement. Well, a lot of we're going to find that there's people that are going to be a sinner today and will get saved in the next hour, and Jesus will be coming back. We'll go in right before, or we'll go in, and the others that have been in for 20 years, serving the Lord for 20 years, not even make it in. We can't always think that because we've done more or put in more that we're more entitled to a new saint than a new saint, because the gift of salvation is eternal life, and it's given to all of us. It's no different. Eternal life is no different for someone that's been in 20 years serving the Lord and someone that's been serving the Lord for a day. It's no different. Amen?
Amen. So a person can't monopolize that by reason. I've been in the old expression that is often used in the church, where I've been in a way for 30 years, 20 years, or 15 years, and then here comes some new person, and they act like this person don't deserve eternal life, like they have been recipients of. If I understood you properly, prophetess, it seemed like that kind of scenario has a way of making people so feel like, well, then I got more than you because I've been around longer than you. Well, God don't look at it. I'm glad you brought that out. When it come down to salvation, when it got come down to God doing what he wants to do with a person, whether he did it 20 years ago or whether he's doing it right now, all receive the same reward that's going to go to heaven, and that is eternal life. That's we're all on the same level of the playing field when it comes down to receiving from God. If we receive eternal life, if we receive a guarantee by Jesus Christ, we're going to heaven. We ought to rejoice in that. If we receive our sins to have been forgiven, and we ought to rejoice in the idea that we've been forgiven, and like this new person has been forgiven, we ought not get attitudes and feel like we got a monopoly on people. I really enjoy what you said, Prophetess Washington, but I tell you what, it takes a real examination, looking at the people who have been run away from church because of these kind of mentalities that have cropped up in church by sometimes people who have forgotten where they come from and what God has promised them and what God is promising people that come in today. I want to give a number again, 215-383-5866. You can call with your questions. You can call with your prayer requests, 215-383-5866. I want to right now go to Sister Yvonne Watson. Sister Yvonne Watson, will you give us another parable that Jesus spake about in the scriptures?
Pastor Martin, one of my favorite parables is the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25, 31 through 46. And here we have all the nations gathered before Jesus, and he is separating his sheep from the goats. His sheep are on his right hand, and he says in Matthew 25, 34, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren. Ye have done it unto me. So we see here helping the least of the brethren is exactly the same as helping Jesus. And Pastor Martin, I can tell you from personal experience what a true blessing and joy it is being a part of our very own outreach ministry when we go to the safe house and minister to the least of our brethren, blessing them physically with food and drink and clothes, and spiritually as well with the word of God and prayer and song and fellowship. But now I don't want to forget the rest of this text, because we also have what Jesus said to the goats on his left. He said in verse 41, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And again, he's saying the same thing, "For I was unhungered, and ye gave me no meat." And we go on down to what he said to them in the end, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." We don't want to miss this message here, because it's the same as the one before. How we treat the least of our brethren is the same as how we treat Jesus. Praise the Lord.
In other words, just because you don't come to church in a Cadillac, just because you don't come to church dressed in the finest of clothes, we ought not put you down or cast you away because of the mere fact you don't have the best of everything in life or the finest of everything. There is a doctrine that's going forth throughout the land that testifies that if God is blessing you, or if you really belong to God, no, if you really belong to God, then you will have the best of everything. Therefore, making God's people that have little of nothing to feel belittled before God. It's even a doctrine that's been going forth that said there's going to be a ghetto in heaven. There will not be a ghetto in heaven. There will not be those individuals that were suffering down here, going through and being put through by reason of the economics of the world or by reason of just not having nothing. They will not be overlooked by God. Matter of fact, Jesus put it like this: out of men that were born of women, there was none greater than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. And sometimes we need to stop, take a look at what this scripture is saying, as you're speaking, Minister Watson, in reference to how we're supposed to treat each other. Because we ought not make ourselves more than those that have not. All right, I want to right now go to Minister Daniel Martin. Minister Daniel Martin, have you got another parable that we can deal with here on tonight?
Yes, sir. God bless you, Pastor Martin. And I was thinking about the parable of Jesus when he said about the wise and foolish builder. And I was reading in Matthew 7 and 24, it starts saying, "Whosoever, here's my sayings, and do with them, it would be like the wise man, which built the house upon the rock. And when the rain descended and the floods came in, the winds blew and beat against that house, it fell not, because it was founded on a rock." And that is how it is, because Psalms 18 and 2 says, "The Lord is my rock, and he is my fortress." And if we build on the Lord, we build our faith, and we build our love and joy inside of the Lord, we won't fall. He's telling us right in the scriptures, we will not fall, because it says the house fell not. Now he also already said that everyone who hear my saying and doeth them not is a foolish man, and build his house on sand. Now, we know when the waters come, and the scripture says when the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house, it fell, and great was its fall, because it was built upon sand. No structure, no foundation, no concrete, no substance. And it's like when you put all that, your cares in the world and trying to get the cars and get the houses, and God sent a fire and destroy it all. Because it was built on sand. Now, if you build your life and you build your salvation in God, you will not fall. So we got to build our faith and our love and our joy and our salvation and our trust in God. Because why? We won't fall. And that's that parable. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.
Building your house, building your life upon Jesus Christ. I like that, Minister Martin. Building your life upon Jesus Christ makes all the difference in the world, because there is enough winds that blow There's enough rains that come. There's enough floods that come, not only just naturally so, but spiritually so, that if you're not, your ground is not, your house is not built up on solid ground with a solid foundation, you'll be swept away, as it is that is happening in Florida naturally so, and in California when the mudslides and homes are demolished, and that's taking place in other parts of the country. Well, because it's not built up on a sheer foundation. But then again, but if it's built up on that sheer foundation, it will stand. But if not, the waters, the winds, and the storms will wash it away. I want to go to Minister Evangelist Yvette Watson. Let me hear another parable of Jesus Christ. Moving on from Minister Yvette Watson, let's go to Minister Antoinette Martin. Minister Antoinette Martin, give us a parable of Jesus Christ that you read.
Okay. Praise the Lord, Pastor Martin. I like the parable about the sower, and it's in Luke, the 8th chapter, 5 through 8. It says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. You know, it was walked and crushed on and injured or whatnot. And the fowls of the air devoured it. 6 says, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung, it withered away because it lacked moisture. 7 says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground, and it sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let them hear. So this parable is talking about the way people sow into the word of God, the way they take in and receive the word. You know, we're the sower, and the word and the seed is the word of God. And so we must sow into the word. There's no life without the word. So don't let the devil take the word, and don't let the devil take the word that's inside of you away. Don't go to the devil and let him take it away from you. Be rooted in the word so that you don't fall away in a time of temptation. Don't let the cares and riches and pleasures of this life choke the word out of you. You know, keep the word, receive the word, believe the word, love and live the word so you can bring forth fruit with patience after you've heard the word. You know, this parable is talking about the word is really important on the way you receive it, the way you hear it. Amen.
Amen. All right. All right. It talks about how well you receive the word. And a lot of people, they receive the word in different ways. But every way that you receive it ought to produce a new life in Jesus Christ in yourself. All right. I want to go right now to Prophetess Tasha Taylor. Give us a parable. Give us a parable of Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Martin. The parable that I like is the unforgiving servant, which is in Matthew, the 18th chapter, from the 23rd to the 35th verse. And basically, the scripture just lets us know that it says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which take account of his servants. And basically, there was a servant that owed him 10,000 talents. And I looked that up to see how much that was. And in today's money, that was several million dollars. And he told him that he owed it to him, and he said, well, since you can't pay it, he was going to have to sell him, his wife, his children, and all that he had so that the payment would be made. But he fell down at the king's feet, and he began to worship him. He said, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And then the servant was moved to compassion, and he loosed him, and he forgave him his debt. He didn't even take any money. He just forgave him of the debt. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. So I looked up what 100 pence was, and the calculation gave me that in American money, that was $1.42. And it says that he laid hands on him. He took him by the throat, and he said, pay me everything that you owe me. And the servant did is what he did with the king. He fell down at his feet and asked him to have patience with him. He told me he would pay him all, and he wouldn't hear it. So he put him in, and he put him in a jail, basically, until he could pay the money. But when the other servants saw this, they went back to the king and told the king what he did. And when they went back and told the king was he was angry. And so what he did is he ended up delivering that same man who owed him 10,000 talents. He delivered him over to his tormentors until he should pay all that was due back to the king. And the last scripture says, and so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brothers their trespasses. And basically that parable is saying, Jesus Christ, God forgave us of our sins, which were great, which meant a lot, but he had compassion on us. When we go back to God, or we go to Jesus Christ, and we say, Lord, I repent of my sins. When we repent, God forgives us of our sins. But if you can't forgive your brother who may have just borrowed some money from you, maybe $5, and you can't forgive them, how so much so God forgave you, you can't forgive someone that borrowed that little bit of money where you owe so much to Christ. So I love this parable because it shows that we were forgiven so much, we should be able to forgive the little things that, because the little things that people do to us here on earth is little compared to what we owe Christ.
Matter of fact, I would want to go one step further and say there is no comparison in reference to what we owe Christ.
Amen.
Because what Jesus did for us, there is not. If we gave everything we have to give, if we gave everything that we know to give, if we gave everything that was of value to give, it still wouldn't even measure up with what Jesus Christ gave to us and what he forgave us from. We ought to therefore forgive one another regardless of what they do to us. The man owed 10,000 talents, millions of dollars, and he going to go out and grab, you know, he had to have a messed up mind. He going to go out and grab his fellow servant and grab him by the neck and go to choke the man because of maybe something equivalency to a dollar and something cents. Well, that was an evil and wicked servant. The Lord called it as he saw it, and because that's what it was. And I thank you, Sister Prophetess Taylor. And now it's time for us to go to break. We're going to break. That's 215-383-5866. That's 215-383-5866. Let's go to break. God bless you. This is Apostle Martin. We're on the other side of break. The number again is 215-383-5866. We're talking about tonight the parables of Jesus. We've had our panel to give some of the parables that Jesus talked about in the scriptures before he left the earth, and which parables had an eternal value in reference to the things that he spoke. Not only that, it was a teaching of how we're supposed to treat and deal with each other. And I appreciate the panelists that have came on that did a great job. And for individuals that are looking for God to help them and strengthen them in their spiritual walk, well, then hopefully something will say it here on tonight so far that would for you to stop and look. And when you go back to read your Bible, you may run across some of the parables that we are talking about tonight. It may give you a greater understanding, and it may turn around and create some more questions in your heart, by which reason you can always give us a call here at 215-383-5866. But I want to right now go to Minister April Reeves. Minister April Reeves, will you give us another parable while we wait to see if we have a caller in or someone that have a need for prayer? And even if you're caller, you have a question that is not related to what we're talking about here on tonight, but we're still here to take your question. But right now, Minister April Reeves, would you give us another parable that Jesus talked about?
Praise the Lord, Apostle Martin. Tonight I'm talking about the parable of the 10 virgins. And this parable is very interesting. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 through 13. And there were 10 virgins who were waiting to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. And each virgin had a lamp, but the wise took oil in their vessels and the foolish took none. While the bridegroom tarried, all of the virgins slumbered and slept. And the Bible said at midnight there was a cry that the bridegroom has come. The five foolish virgins ran out of oil and had to go purchase more, while the five wise entered through the door. Once the five foolish brought the oil and returned to the door, they were not able to get in. So the moral of this story is to prepare yourself now for the coming of the Lord. Always be ready, stay safe, and stay clean. Once Jesus arrives, it is too late to make any changes. Don't be like the five foolish virgins and miss out. Amen.
The five foolish virgins, they didn't have no oil in their lamp. They didn't have the power, the anointing, the flow of God's anointing. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, it's when you have the opportunity to get filled with the Holy Ghost, when you have the opportunity to have the presence and the Spirit of God in you, well, then, and you don't take advantage of that, well, then, you can lay around, play around, or you can procrastinate. And like this parable testifies that the Lord just appeared. He appeared and the bridegroom showed up. And then the door was open. Everybody was ready. They had oil in their lamps. They went in. But those that did not said, wait, first of all, let us try to buy some of that oil from you. You can't buy it. You have to ask God for it. You got to seek God for it. And they waited too late, and the door was shut. And there, and when the door is shut, well, then I don't read any place else, and I didn't hear Minister Reed say any place else where the door was reopened to let the people in. So, again, as she said, part of the story here is don't allow yourself to miss out by procrastinating and waiting, because the Lord is coming at any moment and at any given time. And so we've got to be ready. All right? So, Elder Anthony, I would like to ask you a question in reference to those things that you spoke about here on tonight, because you were talking about on tonight where you actually had the unfruitful fig tree. My God, I'd like to ask you a question about that unfruitful fig tree again. We talked about the Lord is looking at fruits on that tree, but what if somebody just say, I don't need no love, I don't need no joy, I don't need no peace, I don't need none of that, I'm okay just like I am. What do you have to say to that person?
I'm gonna say tell that person that they're not okay. You have to have, in order to make it to heaven, you have to have those fruit. You have to have those fruit represent the characteristics of Jesus Christ. And the only way for you to make it in is for you to exemplify those characteristics. You have to have love because God is love. So if you can't exemplify love and show love to your brother, the Bible talks about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and spirit, all your mind. And it says loving your neighbor as yourself. If you can't adhere to that commandment, you can't make it in. And if you don't have peace and joy and long suffering, if you can't handle being patient and the fruit of the Spirit, you can't make it in, because those are the characteristics that you're going to have even just to live in heaven. Somebody without love can't live in heaven. A person with full of hate and full of malice and is not patient can't live in heaven, can't make it to heaven, because that's not the type of people that God is going to receive into his kingdom.
That's good. That's really good. Everything, a lot of people, that's why the old expression goes there. A lot of people that's talking about going to heaven won't go because they feel that they don't have to have these fruits. They feel that they can hold attitudes and the ugly dispositions and that they still going to be all right. Just because they said one day, Jesus come into my life, they may have asked him to come in, but they failed to take on his life. And as a result, they come up on the short end of the stick. And so Minister Tasha, Prophetess Tasha Taylor, you did so well with that unmerciful servant. What do you say about individuals today that are holding grudges and at the same time won't forgive people for some of those little things that they have done to them, yet they want God to forgive them for all the great and horrible things that they've done in life? What do you say about that person that won't God to forgive them, but they don't want to forgive others? Give me some more information on that.
Well, when you don't forgive people, you really are letting that situation hold you hostage. You're missing out on your blessing. That person, I often tell people, that person, even though you may not know, they may have went to God and repented. Let's just say they did it. You don't see each other anymore. They may have went to God and repented, but you're still holding them accountable for something that God may have already forgiven them for. And then you're looking for God to bless you or move for you or forgive you. And that doesn't work. Even in that parable, when he did what he did, that king came back and got him. And what he was forgiving him for and had compassion on him for, now he gave him over to his tormentors. And so with that being said, you can't do that. When we are in salvation, when you're saved, God said he forgave you for things that you couldn't have done, got rid of, some things you couldn't even got rid of ourselves. So when God forgave us, we should immediately go, because even in the first, before you even get to the parable, Peter comes to Jesus and says, well, how many times should I forgive my brother? He said 70 times 7, that's 490 times a day, because we should be ever so forgiving. God was so forgiving towards us, and some of us were very, very deep in sin. So for those people out there that are holding grudges or holding people accountable for things that they may have even repented, even if they didn't, once you forgive them, it's off you. Because I even myself, I want to be blessed. So my goal is, Lord, I forgive them. And sometimes you have to keep going to God, because some stuff is deep-rooted, Pastor Martin. It hurts. But you have to continuously go until it's off of you. And once it's off of you, you move on.
I remember that. I remember, and some people remember me telling them, I think I've told it several times, how that this particular minister, they went to this woman, borrowed $10 from her. And so the woman was having a lot of financial problems, and it took a long time for the woman just to get a hold to $10. So, but in before the woman can literally get a hold to $10, but then to pay the minister back, the minister got an attitude. The minister did, got a bad attitude against the woman and said, you don't want to give me my money. Where is my money? With a very ugly attitude. Where is my money? You don't want to give me my money. The woman said and pleaded. She said, I'm going to give it to you. I just haven't had it to give. Yes, you have. You just refused to give it to me. And she said, well, please forgive me. The woman pleaded with the minister, please forgive me because I wanted to give it to you, but every time I saw you, I just didn't have it with me. I just didn't have it to give. And she said, yes, you did. And you want me to forgive you? I refuse to forgive you. And within 1 week, the minister didn't know a week later she would be in eternity, that she would be having to give account to God for how she treated and this woman, how she refused to forgive this woman for not being able to pay her $10. That minister wind up going to hell for an unforgiving spirit. For an unforgiving spirit. Well, the woman probably continued on living for God and probably wind up in heaven. But for an unforgiving spirit, she now spends eternity without God, without Christ, being alienated from heaven, alienated from the glory of God, from the presence of God, from the peace, the love, the joy, the fellowship of the saints of the Most High that's in heaven, all because of an unforgiving spirit and not willing to forgive the woman that owed her $10, not knowing that she was getting ready to enter into eternity. That's a great parable. That's a great parable. And it's something for us to look at and re-look at and re-look at in our dealing with people. And I like what Sister Yvonne Watson said in reference to the goats and the sheep. Well, then start off talking about the nations. Psalms 9 and 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and every nation that forget God. But then it breaks it down to be applied individually also. And I'm how many times, especially in the day and time we live, how many times have you gone by someone and it kind of crossed your heart to give them something, but you start turning them away? I tell you, I had to really look at myself in reference to some people today. And Sister Yvonne, what about you? Can I ask you, has there been a time where you felt like maybe this person is pulling a scam on me? Or maybe, what do you have to say to us that are trying to make sure we do this thing right?
Pastor Martin, praise the Lord. Yes, this is actually a timely question because it just happened to me last week. I was going into a store, and there was a gentleman standing outside by the entrance, and he says, and I was in my church clothes, it was on a Sunday, and he says, Miss, is there any way you could spare any change, or do you have any food? I'll just take anything you have. And my first thought was, well, I knew I didn't have any cash on me, so I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, I'm going to use my card in the store, but maybe I can get some cash back and I can, you know, give you some from that. And he was like, God bless you, ma'am. Thank you so much. And then he went into his story, and his story was saying, well, you know, I'd have food, but my father's in the hospital right now. He had some kind of an attack. And I said, oh, wow, I'm so sorry to hear that. And I said, so you're saying that when your father's not there, you're not able to go home? And then he says, well, it's not just today, ma'am. He says, it's like this all the time. It's not just today because he's in the hospital. So I just said, okay, you know, no worries. And he said, thank you so much. So I go in the store, I get, you know, a few bucks cash back. And I'm telling you, it was split-second timing. I've never seen anything so close to the timing before in my life. Just as I was coming out the door, I saw a man hand him something real small in his hand, and my first thought was, is it more money, or could it have been some kind of a drug? And I'm telling you, as soon as I walked up on him, if it had been money, I would have seen it in his hand as I was reaching to give him the money I was going to give him, but it wasn't money in his hand. So Holy Spirit led me to go ahead and give him the money, even though I knew he might use it for drugs. So the time was so close, I really didn't want to judge or criticize or say, is this going to be for food or for more drugs? I just said, I'm going to pray for him in my mind and in my spirit. So as soon as I gave him the money, he thanked me over and over and over again, and immediately he left. So I would say there are times when you don't know what people are going to do with the money, but you've got to remember that you are obeying the Holy Spirit. And that's the most important thing, is you want to make sure that the Spirit of the Lord is telling you to do it. And if it is, you're obeying the Holy Spirit. And one thing we can always do is pray for those people. We can stand there and pray for them right then and there. We can pray for them as we're leaving and ask God to deliver them or to help them in whatever they are going through. Praise the Lord.
I listened to your testimony there. There is so, in the day and time that we live in, I found this out, that a lot of people that are, there are legitimate people with legitimate needs in reference of hygienic materials or things that has to do with actually food, they're actually hungry. And then there's so many scammers out here. One individual said, would you give me something to eat? Well, this happened about four or five different times with four or five different individuals. Would you give me something to eat? And then they would say, would you also pay for me a hotel room tonight? And I said, no, I won't do that. No, I'll get you something to eat, but what I'll turn around and let you go to the nearest place to get you something to eat. I'll meet you over there and pay for it. But because I found out that there were drug addicts that were actually I went to do this with one woman, and we're getting ready to pray for our listening audience. We are talking about the prayer, the parables of Jesus here tonight. But I went to pray, get this one woman. She says, I'm hungry. I said, well, okay, go in the store, and whatever you want to buy, whatever you want to eat, you get it. I'll pay for it. The store manager came out and said, did that woman that's in the store just ask you to pay for some food, get her something, buy her something to eat? I said, yeah. And I'm trying to think, what is that business to you? But nevertheless, that was just a thought in my mind. But he said, don't do it. I said, well, why, sir? He said, because she's been taking the food. She's been telling people she's hungry. She'll go in the store. She'll turn around, and they'll buy her food. She'll take the food, go sell it to the drug dealer for drugs. He said, so don't do that. I said, wow, that blew me away. But anyway, and then I've had people that come up and say, okay, I'm hungry, but I said, okay, I'll take you, go up to Hardee's or go up to McDonald's. I'll meet you there. I won't embarrass you, but I'll let you get whatever you want to, and I'll pay for it. I did this with one woman. I got in my car, drove away. And the little old woman came out, took my stuff that I bought for her, and threw it in the trash can. And when she threw it in the trash can, I said, look at this. She really wanted the money. I don't know if she was a hoarder or a miser, but she really wanted the money. She really didn't want any food anyway. But I caught her in my rearview mirror. She was throwing what I bought in the trash can. So it made me a little gun shy. But then let me say this last incident where I met a man downtown. I've seen this man go from person to person to person, and he was begging for food. And so I made up my mind I'm going to give this man $2 or $3 that I had for him to buy some food. And when I went to give it to him, he shook his head and yelled, no, 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 no. And he kept putting his finger in his mouth that he was hungry, but money he didn't want. And I got in my car. I went on and got in my car, and God spoke to me. He said, because of him being homeless and on the street, within no establishment want him to come into their restaurant. So he was hungry, and he wanted me to give him something to eat, but he couldn't go. Money couldn't do him no good because they wouldn't let him in there to spend it. So as a result, I went around the block and tried to find him again and couldn't find him, and I never forgot that situation. But the Bible said do good to all men, especially the household of faith. But as you said, Sister Watson, we got to pray, ask God to give us wisdom in those individuals that really need help and really sincere. All right, with that being said, I'm getting ready to pray for our Blog Talk listening audience. Hopefully some things have been said in the parables of Jesus that we attempt to cover here on tonight. Hopefully something has been said will help you in your spiritual walk. That's our whole intention. Again, if not the sum total of what you've heard tonight, of the understanding and the expressions that can be gotten from the Word of God. But if you continue in the Word of God, the Bible said He'll open up their understanding, that they may understand the Scriptures. And that's our hope, that when you do read the parables of Christ, He will open up your understanding to understand the Scriptures. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You and bless and praise You for our listening audience here on tonight. We give You the glory, the praise, and the honor for all things, for the abundance of all things. We thank You for the ministers that have ministered here on tonight, and we give You the honor, we give You the praise. Touch everyone that's sick and suffering and going through. Touch those that are pressed down and oppressed. Bring them out of their difficulties. Those that have been attacked by demons and devils, deliver them, my God, in Jesus' name. And this is Apostle Gregory Martin with Deliverance Live on Blog Talk Radio tonight. Thank you, our listening audience. Thank you, our panelists, for being in on tonight. I give into the hands of our co-host, Anthony Mason.
Thank you for listening to Blog Talk Radio tonight, Deliverance Live with Apostle Gregory Martin. This broadcast has been brought to you by Deliverance Unlimited International Church, 2426 Favon Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30331. You can visit us online at deliveranceunlimited.com or at facebook.com/Deliverance Unlimited Church. Thank you again for listening to Blog Talk Radio, and we ask you to join us again for part two of the Parables of Jesus Christ on Thursday night at 9 o'clock. God bless you, and have an amazing night.
your voice and say now. You have won it all for me, and
I'm not dead. So grateful that he lives.